Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloved ones, and welcome to the Holistic Ministry Show. I am Minister James Browning, and I'm broadcasting live today from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, guess what? Phoenix summer is back. We just experienced our first day yesterday of triple temperature. So, you know, Phoenix gets serious in the summertime. It's either time to leave Phoenix right now and go up north or go some other place or prepare to bob hard and keep yourself in the air conditioning in the house. It's pretty serious here when the heat is on. But you know what? We're just grateful and glad to be alive, so we'll take each and every day as we find it. But beloved ones, all my old listeners, thank you so much for the tuning in this morning. I am so grateful for each one of you. I really, really am, and especially there's a couple of my listeners that have been with me since conception, since I've been doing this show, and so grateful and have supported me in ways that really encourage me right now. I see one of my dear listeners that's up in the northern part of Arizona, and she has truly been an inspiration and motivation to keep me going. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't be doing this show if it was not for her. She reminded me of who and what my responsibilities was every time we talk. So grateful for you, beloved one. Thank you so much. I cannot in any words express how grateful I am for your friendship and your words of encouragement. But anyway, thank you, each one of you. And for all my new listeners, thank you for calling in this morning. Thank you for listening in this morning. Thank you for being part of this program, because, you know, you don't see each other, but believe me, collectively, your consciousness and your spiritual energy is connected, because this is part of the community. This is part of this community, and you're part of the community when you dial in and allow your energy to be there. So this is all one big, happy, spiritual family. So we're grateful for you. So for all of you who have been listening to me for a while, know that I open every show with a prayer, because as I tell you, I'm just a vessel. And so I need God's strength and the support of all those beloved ones who help us each and every Sunday to make sure this show goes well. So like every other Sunday, we're going to now do our prayer. Father, Mother God, we come this morning with open hearts and open minds and open spirits, knowing that you are the source of all things that show up in our lives. And we just come this morning in a state of gratitude for giving us safe travel this week, as we made it another week and we are here in body and mind and spirit, and that we are moving forth into a higher state of consciousness and awareness. We are so, so grateful for all the support and all that you allow to come into our sacred spaces. So this morning, I call upon all my ascended masters, all those ones who are here and help me to be part of this program, Saint Germain, and all the other ascended masters, ascended hosts who are here, the Cosmic Christ. We thank you. We thank you for Mother Mary. We thank you for Lord Michael, who help us with the technical aspects of the show. We thank you, Lord Michael, for being here this morning and help us to go through and do what we need to do. And by all means, we give thanks for our I Am Present that is within us all the time. This grateful spiritual being that lives within us is the essence of God inside of us, and we are grateful for that energy that flows from us, and we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. As we go into this day, we know that you will provide a message for us and give us an opportunity to experience that which is needed. I pray, dear God, that to use me as a vessel that I can share and be able to bring forth a word of inspiration and motivation to these dear listeners today that's on this air, that they will be inspired and motivated by the words they hear. I pray this morning, divine thanks for all of my front-end workers that are working out there in the virus, and all the doctors who are supporting. I give thanks to them. I give keeping them safe and keeping them well and keeping them brave, because many of them dear Father, making sacrifices in their own lives to support and to help all of us. We give divine praise for them. We pray for America. We pray for the strength of America, that she will heal and that she will move in a higher state of consciousness and move in the right direction. We pray for this government that we have. Give them consciousness, give them awareness, and let them know and let them become aware that they are shepherding in the people of God and that they are responsible to make sure that everything is done in divine order and divine peace. So touch their souls, their minds, their hearts, and let them know that they are to govern in a right and righteous way to make sure things are done. We pray for divine healing for the whole world, especially right now in India. We pray, God, that you wrap your arms around beloved India and keep them well. With the situation going on in India, we say, God, protect them. Send forth a legion of your angels to keep them embraced and give them support as they need. Send them all the doctors and all the equipment that they need to be able to sustain themselves and to keep them well. We pray for beloved India. Beloved India has so much spiritual value to the world, and we just pray for their divine protection and that all will be well. So we are grateful, God. We are so thankful. We are so thankful, and so it is. Okay, beloved ones. Again, for all you who just tuned in late, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have an interesting show today, something that most of you maybe never thought about, but today we're going to have spirit to awaken your mind. The topic of the show today is, what religion did Jesus follow? What religion did Jesus follow? You know, beloved one, it's really shocking to me that so many people who claim to know Jesus, who claim to follow Jesus, have so little knowledge about the spiritual path that Jesus followed. You know, you would think if you're going to follow someone, you would want to know what path that Jesus was going to take himself to be part of and how they would move forward. But so today we're going to talk about what motivated Jesus to do and be who he was and what support that he had as a spiritual being of who he was to continue to move forward. So many of you who are listening out in the audience believe that Jesus was Christian. Yeah, many people believe that Jesus was a Christian. Just because Christian religion was built behind Jesus, they believe that Jesus himself was a Christian. You know, and so many of you believe that Jesus worshiped Judaism because he was a Jewish personality. They believe that he was one or the other. The question, and that's neither one of those answers are right, beloved one. And I know that may be shocking to some of you, but Jesus was neither a Christian or neither a practiced Judaism. So we're going to talk about the religion that Jesus followed and how he became so conscious and aware and what it was that motivated him. So hopefully you're ready to hear this because it may be shocking to some of you, but it is true. You know, Christianity started somewhere between 100 and 125 years after the resurrection. Okay, there were structures of Christianity popping up, but Christianity did not really become officially and popular as it is today until 325 A.D. And that was when the Council of Nicaea gave the okay for it to happen. It gave the okay for it to happen, along with the Emperor Constantine, who gave his blessings. And see, this would not have happened in the official state without the Emperor allowing it to be. So that was the deal and what was happening. Then it officially became a religion, although it was still considered an occult religion. It was still a religion born, and it began to move into the mainstream of social life of people of the world, okay? That's when it begins to take place. Well, I want to inform you now that Jesus and his and entire family were followers of the Essene religion. Yes, like I told you, Jesus was not a Christian. He was not a Jew. Did I follow you? He grew up in the Essene religion. And the Essene religion still exists today. There are still pockets of the Essene society existing in the world, and that is not going to go away. Although the Essene was considered to be an occult religion back then, and is also seen to be an occult religion now, but it's real, it exists, and it's always will be exist, and I'm sure that it will constantly stay there because they have belief in what they believe in. The Essene was a Jewish community that lived in the desert near the western shores of the Dead Sea. And many of us heard of the Dead Sea. In the town of Judas, Jesus' brother James was the leader of the Essene group in the area, in that part of the country. There were other Essene groups, but Jesus' brother James were the leader of this particular group. They were they broke off from Judaism. They were part of the Judaism, but they broke off and they walked away from it. So why did they break off? Because they were discontent with the Roman law and the corruption of the Jewish so-called spiritual leaders. See, the essence, the Essene deeply believed in the laws of Moses, and they were followers of the laws of Moses. They followed to the letter. Okay, most of the Essene single people practiced celibacy. They were celibate. Most of the single people. All the other people that participated in sexual activity were the married couples. Okay, everybody else in the group were celibate. Okay, they believed in it, and they believed in it wholeheartedly. Believed of it then, and they believe in it now. Okay, so how would I describe this organization if they were to describe them in a way that you would fully understand, especially for those who are on the air? They were a metaphysical spiritual movement. They were into metaphysics long before, you know, other people on the planet was into it. They were practicing metaphysical process, much like the New Thought churches of today. So that is the environment in which Jesus came into. His entire family came up in a metaphysical environment and metaphysical teachings. Okay, this was many of their members were very powerful and very financially influential as well. They had, you know, they had spiritual power and they had financial power as well. And these individuals were, they kept to themselves. They didn't socialize with other people, to a great extent, because the powers that be, the government, the Jewish government that was in charge, along with the Roman government, were against them and were not approval of what it is that they stood for and what they did, okay? And so they kept to themselves, most of all. And one of those very influential people who were influenced, spiritually influenced, as well as financially, was the Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea, who played, that was Jesus' uncle. And he was very fluent and very financially stable. He owned shipping companies that moved goods all over the world in that particular time. You know, he had hundreds of ships. And so he was very, very powerful and had the assets. And he took Jesus under his wings to a great extent. And Jesus was able to do a lot of worldwide traveling with his uncle. He exposed Jesus to every corner of the earth that his ships went. Jesus was able to go there and to be exposed of those teachings in those places where he would not have normally went. See, the Essene religion was responsible for writings of the Dead Sea Scrolls. See, the Dead Sea Scrolls was written back eons, but they were misplaced to a bad. They wasn't really misplaced. They were hidden in a cave near the Dead Sea. I think back in the early 40s, someone was going through and they found all of these scrolls, treasure chest of information that was people had access to. Once they was able to tap into it and to really to be able to bring forth this knowledge, it opened up a whole new understanding of the spiritual teachings. See, because a lot of the Old Testament scripture was taken from the Dead Sea Scrolls. A lot of the information that, a lot of the stuff we read in the Old Testament, that came directly from the Dead Sea Scrolls, loved one. This was how that the Old Testament actually came together, was the information coming off of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They was very powerful information. This branch of the Essene was aware of Jesus' mission, and they did work in supporting of his ministry on all levels. So they were prepared for the oncoming of Jesus. They were spiritually aware that Jesus would be coming on the scene, so they began to prepare even before he showed up on the planet. They were getting prepared for him and his ministry, to support his ministry. And that was a beautiful thing. So they supported Jesus from the beginning, and they were there to the very end. From his birth to the end, the Essene ministry was there to support him. Jesus' grandmother, Saint Anna, who was the most influential person in Jesus' life. Yes, many of you may not have heard of Saint Anna. Only a very few of you out there may be aware that Jesus had a paternal grandmother, and who her name was Saint Anna. Oh my God! If you want to find out what really how powerful Jesus was, then you need to go do a little research on Saint Anna. She is mind-boggling, mind-blowing, and she was just phenomenal. She lived to be over 650 years of age and probably could have stayed longer if she chose to stay. But she was on the planet Earth for 650 years. So you can imagine what significance she played in the knowledge she had. She played the most significant role in Jesus' life from the beginning to the end. You see, she also served as the midwife who brought Jesus into the world. But that wasn't the original plan of how the group had seen it. They had already said that Dr. Luke, with the physician then, would be the one who would bring Jesus into the earth plane. But apparently, God had a different plan. So at the time that Jesus arrived, Luke was away taking care of some other patients. So Grandma Anna had to jump in and do the delivery. And so she was there, and he popped in her hands, and he was in her hands from the beginning and to the end, as we will discuss as we go along in this process. So, like I said, Luke was supposed to be there, but he didn't show it up. But God had a different plan. Now, along with that came the three wise, after Jesus had came onto the planet, the three wise men who showed up right at the time of the birth of Jesus, my goodness gracious, they were very conscious and very aware of what it was. They were all master astrologers. You see, astrology back in those days was very popular and very powerful. It's not like this Western astrology that we have today. It's not nowhere in comparison to these people who were actually, they followed the stars, they understood the stars, and they were able to pinpoint the exact location of Jesus at that time, following the stars. I mean, I said following the stars. Not only did they follow the physical stars, but they could interpret the stars to tell them exactly where Jesus was. So they also used the spiritual aspect of astrology to help that to come about. Now, they gave, once they came and visited Jesus and bought him gifts and things, and then they gave a warning to the family of Joshua. By the way, for all of you who, not most of you out there, know who Joshua was. Joshua was Jesus. That was his real original name that he had before they renamed him, okay? But the three wise men, they gave warning to the family to take the baby Jesus out of the country, out of the area, as soon as they could get there, because the King Herod, who that day had made a commitment that he was going to assassinate or kill the baby Jesus. Matter of fact, he killed a whole lot of babies in that range trying to get to the baby Jesus. But the three wise men who came through, and actually King Herod met with them before they ended up with Jesus, because he wanted to utilize them to go find Jesus for him so he can go out and assassinate him, okay? But the three wise men were wise. So what they did, they told the family, out of here, because the king is sending troops all over the nation to try to find this special enlightened being who has come on the planet, because it made him, made the king feel threatened that this baby would take over and the king would lose his power. How crazy that was, but that's what was happening. So at that time, the family and the Essene family, a lot of them gathered up all their personal artifacts and all the personal things they had, and they began to move out. They went to Egypt. A whole bunch of them just picked up and left, and they started a caravan and headed to Egypt. And that is where they ended up, in Egypt. And Jesus and his family actually stayed in Egypt till Jesus was well in his mid-teens or a little later teens. That is where they made home. So Jesus spent a whole lot more time in Egypt than he did in Jerusalem and in that area of the country. They were very, very welcome there. And they were, it was important for Jesus to be there, as you will learn as we go on. Jesus' grandmother, Saint Anna, took him under her wings, so to say, to prepare him and to get him to understand. See, she had been to Egypt many times, and she had studied in the school, the wisdom schools. And so now she's taking her grandson into the wisdom schools that were set up in Egypt. These were schools that were set up under the auspices of Osiris and Horus and a lot of the advanced spiritual beings who had came through prior. And these schools were set up, these special schools that taught pure wisdom and knowledge of, you know, how the universal laws work. And only a few people had access to these schools. And Saint Anna was one of those who were there to, and she knew all the workings of the school. So she knew that Jesus needed to go there and to be able to be educated in these schools. And there it is where she took him, and he studied the spiritual laws of the universe. They taught him his spiritual contact with the universe and how to operate in these spiritual laws. And along with teaching him the spiritual law, they began to prepare him for the resurrection. That they were preparing Jesus for his resurrection early in his lifetime. And this is what he learned about the process of the resurrection in the wisdom schools in Egypt. So, see, they taught him how to master his physical body, where he could lay it down and come back and pick it up at will. Okay, he was able to do that. Now, beloved ones, there's a lot of other highly elevated spiritual people that could have that did the same thing back in those days. A lot of those yogis and different ones who were able to leave their bodies by the Ganges River and no one touched them, leave their bodies in the cave, and they went out into the spiritual realm, and they would come back and pick their bodies up days later. I don't know how long they stayed. I don't know how the length of how long they would go, but I know that it was not a big deal for some of those spiritually elevated people at the time. But they taught Jesus how to do that. So in these schools, Jesus became a master physical, metaphysical teacher himself at a very early age. Now, it is said that Jesus actually, while he was a kid, young kid, created a bird out of clay. And he created this bird, modeled a bird out of clay, and he blew breath into the clay bird, and the bird became alive. And the bird became alive and flew away. Now, that's power, beloved ones. That's power. That's to the essence. I wasn't there, so I don't know it. I'm only going by what I was told and the study that I was diving into and some of the things that Jesus did. But that was just one of the things that Jesus did as a kid and the ability of the talent that he had. And he had a lot of talent. And so this was just one of the miracles that he performed. He was that in tune how to understand how to bring about life and how to bring about it at that level. He also learned how to lay his body down and pick it up later. And that was part of that he done. And so when he got to the point where he had attained so much wisdom and knowledge, he then began to branch out and left Egypt. He left Egypt, him and other family members left Egypt, and they began to travel into India and other parts of the Orient. And a lot of the traveling was done on their uncle's ship. Their uncle came and picked them up and took them into the Himalayas, took them to where they could get onto these silk routes, as they would call them, where they would go by camel, but there was certain water outlets that would get them closer. So their Uncle Joseph took them there, and then they would go out on these caravans into this different parts of the world, okay, and different things. Jesus spent a lot of time there were spiritual schools set up in the Himalayas and just as well as in Egypt. These schools were there too, and Jesus spent quite a bit of time in these schools and in the ashrams in the Himalayas. So he was there, he was being taught, and he was also teaching. He was being taught, he was also teaching at that particular time. Jesus were so knowledgeable, but he gained more knowledge, and he taught the knowledge that he'd already learned in these schools itself. But now, Jesus' greatest stay was in the realm of Babaji. Babaji is where Jesus spent at least 2 to 3 years in that one ashram. And Babaji took Jesus under his arm to teach him what he was exposed to. And if you don't know about Babaji, then I should suggest that you do a little research on Babaji. Babaji was awesome. Awesome, beloved ones. He were into really profound knowledge and wisdom of himself and of the spiritual realm. So Jesus spent time there and experienced. Matter of fact, Jesus' father Joseph made his ascension from Baba G's ashram, and it is said that it was something to behold and to see the process of the ascension taking place, where his physical body just descend into the air. He took his whole physical body with him into the ascension, into the higher realm, and go. And they said that it was something that that was way beyond most people's experience. But you could expect it to happen in Baba G's facility, because that was what Baba G was about teaching of the higher realm and to help people to be able to prepare themselves to make the ascension from that ashram. So now, in the meanwhile, Jesus and grandma's still around. She didn't go nowhere. She may not have stayed at the ashram as much as Jesus and Joseph did, but she was still in the vicinity. Now, grandma and Joshua or Jesus, which one you want to call, they began to take trips back and forth to Egypt so Jesus could have more training on his resurrection. And they would take these trips through a process called teleportation or your bivocation. They would teleport or either bivocate to travel. So if you're not familiar with that, that means they were able to dematerialize their physical bodies to the point where they were able to go where they need to be just through their thought and belief process. That's magnificent that they were able to do that. But they traveled back and forth, going back into these schools, and Jesus was getting more education on how to do the process of the resurrection. And then, you know, once Jesus had learned these things in these parts of the world, then he began to ready himself to start his ministry and his journey back to Jerusalem. Now, he had been out of that area for well over 20 some years, in the late 20 years, maybe about 27, 28 years, 29 years, Jesus had been out of that area, learning all these things and being part of all his, so his teaching in his life was mostly spent outside learning and gaining education and gaining knowledge about what he was all about and what he was to do. So now he's got all this knowledge, so he recognized now it's time for him to go back and to be able to share what he has learned and be able to prepare himself for the most important mission of what he had to do. So he went back with the family. They had caravans, and it was quite a few of the family members all going back and just drew them together. And you know where they went? They went to Mount Carmel and to different parts where the Essene were the strongest. They went back into the Essene community because they were waiting for him. They knew he had been gone, but they were preparing the way for him to come back and be grounded in his community of the Essene. Those other metaphysical thinking people that were there, and they knew and understood what the mission of Jesus was. So he came back to the Essene group, and there where he reunited with his brothers and sisters in this community. And that is where he established his physical ministry. You see, Jesus never had a physical building that he operated out. Besides, there were probably no buildings big enough to hold the people that showed up when he gave his messages, because they came by the thousands. They came by the thousands. And can you imagine? They came by the thousands, and they didn't even have microphones, but yet they could hear and they could participate. You know, you're in a situation, you got 15, 20 people, you got to have a loudspeaker on the microphone. They had none of that. But Jesus was able to get his message over to these beings and these crowds that came. Not only did he give them a message, but he also fed them and made sure that they were able to have nourishment of their bodies. And he did a lot of miracles around those kind of things too, you know. Being able to multiply the food to be able to feed these people to keep them well and keep them there. Because sometimes they would come and stay for days just to hear Jesus talk about what it is they needed to, that he wanted to speak out. And Jesus was doing his healing service. So people would travel from all over, would come, the lame, the blind, the crippled, people with diseases and situations going on in their physical bodies. They would come there and they would wait for hours and days just to be able to have Jesus lay hands on him. So he made sure those people were taken care of when they came there and how he needed to be. So, and Jesus' family, they felt comfortable now enough to go back because they knew that King Herod, his era was over, and also King Herod's family were no longer in charge. But the Roman government was still oppressing the Jewish people at that time. But Jesus knows that Herod was there, but the oppression was still going on by the Roman government. So that was okay because Jesus knew he was going back to do his mission. And so he went back with that fully understanding, knowing that they were there and they what the possibilities could be. But he knew that his mission were much bigger than the government of a Roman and also those spiritual leaders of the traditional Judaism and Jewish churches. Jesus just knew that his mission was bigger than those, so he had no fear that he would go back. So I guess if you were to describe Jesus' ministry in that time, you would say he had a mega ministry, like some of the mega churches, you know, that have 20, some of the churches have 20,000, 25,000 people, you know. I don't know if that many people showed up at Jesus' one time, but Jesus would definitely be considered a mega minister at that time because that's where people showed up and went to. Now, sometimes Jesus would travel, and he would go into some of the temples, some of the temples that were set up, and some of the temples were there. As Jesus traveled to different places, he would visit some of these temples. But Jesus discovered something when he went into these temples. He discovered that a lot of these temples were the den of thieves. That the people actually that was running the temples were just thieves. They were collecting taxes for the Roman government. In addition to that, they would take percentage of the tax themselves and keep it for their own personal gain. And so Jesus became very frustrated when he would go into these temples and see these so-called spiritual people violating the sanctity of these special temples. And Jesus became very frustrated with what was going on, and Jesus began to physically expel them from the temples. And beloved one, it was not always a pretty sight. Jesus were very strong in his way of putting them out, and actually he would whip them out with a whip if they didn't want to go voluntarily out of the temple. So that part of Jesus was not passive. He was not tolerating that foolishness that was going on in the temple, and the temple being, because he saw the temples as being a spiritual place, and he did not want them to come in to violate the temple with their thievery and with their greed for money to come in to do the kind of things they were doing. So Jesus would expel them by any means necessary, whatever it takes, and he put them out. Now, this really upset the Jewish church leaders. How dare you come into our churches and put us out? You know, how dare you do this? You have no right to do and come and do these things, okay? That's how they felt, that Jesus had no right to come and to do these things. But Jesus felt that it was his right to stand up for truth and to be able to utilize his truth and do what he needed to do. So these Jewish spiritual leaders, they became so frustrated, they couldn't control Jesus. So that is when they went to the Roman government and told the Roman government that Jesus was upsetting the apple cart, that Jesus was causing conflict among them. They were not able to collect their taxes, and they were not able to do what they needed to do. And see, at this time, then the Roman government had heard about Jesus, but they would not make a move on Jesus because they know if they made a move on Jesus without the sanction of the Jewish church, that could be the problem that they didn't want to deal with. So these Jewish leaders now, they went to the government and say, look, we need to deal with this situation and we need to have this brought under control because it's going to affect our ability to collect the taxes and for us to get our cut. So this means that something has to be done. So the Roman leaders at this time, of course, they didn't want to lose their money. So they said, okay, then you have to prepare to bring Jesus up on some type of charge. that we can utilize to be able to justify us removing him or having him taken out of the process. So that is where the conspiracy begins. They went back to their area, back in Jerusalem, back in that area, and they began to contrive a whole bunch of lies and conspiracy about things that Jesus was doing. And one of them, they were saying that Jesus was healing and taking care of people on the Sabbath day. And then if you can't heal on a Sunday and take care of people on a day that's supposed to be spiritual, when can you do it? But they made a Trump charge that he had no authority to be healing and doing these kind of things with people on a Sunday, on the Sabbath day. Not along with that and other things that he was saying that he was God. When Jesus would tell them, it is not I who do the work, but the God in me who do the work. It is the God in me who are bringing forth and performing all these miracles and things that I do. It is not me, it is God in me. And you know, beloved ones, they even charged him for that because they say that he was acting as if he was a God, that he had blasphemy, that he was had the power of God inside of him. And they, that was another one of the things of the conspiracy that they put. They had a whole list of things they worked on collectively to bring about this information and to set up these conspiracy laws to be able to take back to the Roman government so they could use it to prosecute Jesus, okay? Now, I don't personally know whether these processes they do was actually part of a master plan in order for Jesus to be able to do his resurrection. By them bringing these charges, may have been part of a master plan that was in place to help facilitate his resurrection, okay? But we do know that it worked out that way. It worked out of that way, that by them going and creating these things and had him bring up on charges were way that he was able to demonstrate what his resurrection was all about. And that was a process that we know that propelled Jesus into the history, and because that was his mission of what it was all about. Now, and many people have no idea of why Jesus even did the resurrection. You heard all kinds of things that Jesus did the resurrection. I would take the words of his grandmother, who was there and trained him and took him into all the temples and taught him, has been taught about the processes of what Jesus was doing and how to do it. I would say that her knowledge of what the purpose of the resurrection was about would probably be more clear than just about anyone else on the planet, because she was there in the teaching process and helping him to be able to understand this process. And according to the teachings and the words of Grandma Anna, she said that the resurrection and the process that Jesus went through had a twofold purpose. One of them was to teach us the power of forgiveness. You see, when beloved Jesus was there on the cross, and he had one of the Roman soldiers had already took a spear and ran it up inside of his rib case, and he was bleeding out. And then there were two other people on the side of him that was not supposed to be so good of people or whatever. So Jesus understood the power of forgiveness, and did not want to go into this new dimension with any guilt, any feeling of remorse about anything or anybody that he could help. So he asked God to forgive those two individuals on side for whatever errors they had made, that they would be totally forgiven. In addition to that, Jesus asked God to forgive the Roman soldiers who have just pierced his rib with a spear. Can you imagine that someone has just took your life and you had nerve to say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do? My God, you know, that took a lot. That took a lot. especially when you think about in the daytime, in these days, we won't even forgive people because they said something harsh about us. You know, there are situations now where family members and people not speaking to each other for years just because of something that was said or a small act that was done. You live around finances or relationships stuff, and we won't even forgive each other about those things when Jesus' whole message was to forgive. If you can't forgive somebody because they said something harsh about you or told you a lie about you, and you're still whole, and they're your family, man. And unfortunately, a lot of this forgiveness stuff goes on in the families, where families won't forgive each other, hold grudges till the death or till they leave the planet. You know what I mean? They really, really do hold on to a lot of stuff and cause a lot of stuff just because they won't forgive people. If you ever been in a relationship with anyone that you are feeling any of guilt about in any kind of way, release that yourself and release the other person by totally forgiving, beloved one. Forgiveness is a powerful tool that you can use to release yourself, and because forgiveness is more about you being released, okay? So whatever was done to you, and I know there's some horrible things that have been done to people through abuse of all natures, sexual, physical, all kinds of things have happened. But you, beloved ones, have to transcend and rise above to that point where you can forgive that person and let them go. Even if they're not here on the physical plane with you today, forgive them in the spirit. Just talk to their spirit and just ask for forgiveness so you can leave. It's going to free you. Yeah, you know, it's up to them whether they want to accept it and be able to deal with it. That doesn't bother you. We're talking about freeing yourself. So give people for whatever our heinous the crime was, we have to be able to forgive. That's part of life lessons. Okay, that's one of the things that Jesus talked about. The second part of the resurrection and the crucifixion was Jesus came to teach us that this so-called thing, death, was just an illusion, and that is actually a transformation from one state to another. You see, beloved ones, when we can overcome the fear of death and overcome the fact that we're thinking that we're going to be, our egos are going to be lost and we will never be able to be able to have this life that we are experiencing now, and we come through, that's all about the ego, because the spiritual, that same I am present in you, beloved one, has been with you through every incarnation that you have experienced here on planet Earth or wherever you incarnated at, okay? You may not incarnate here on planet Earth. People incarnate on different realms. You know, in this vast universe, there's other worlds and other societies as well. So wherever you are, that I am present will be with you for eons until you get back to the Godhead. To the God force, okay? So you have to understand and respect that this thing, this so-called thing called death, is just an illusion, beloved one. Have no fear of this illusion. It's just a transformation. You just move from one state to another state. And I can just about imagine that you will be just as excited, even more excited, when you get back into the spiritual realm where you are totally free and leave all these physical limitations back on the other side, okay? So embrace it. Know that it is something that that you to look forward to. I'm not saying stop living your life and all of a sudden start to have the forces or have the energy or look forward to the death realm. No, you don't do that. You live as long as you can live, and live as long as it's possible for you to live. But in the teachings, that thing called death is just an illusion. Okay, so fear it not, beloved one, and use it to now that you have aware that it's all about life. That is where you want to put your energy, is about living and not being prepared, not being afraid under any circumstances for that information that you need to be able to sustain yourself. And once you overcome that, you have full understanding that the resurrection was about teaching you to forgive and to have no fear of this so-called thing called death. Okay, beloved ones, I am so happy that you tuned in today, and many of you stuck around through the whole show. Some people kind of bailed out when got to certain parts, and I understand that some people, you know, their consciousness won't allow them to embrace certain things based on their teaching and understanding, and that's okay, because the people who needed to hear and the people who are still here are the people who are aware and who are in tune and know and speaking of the truth and understand the truth. I know many of you heard some things today that you've never heard before. Many of you had no idea that Jesus had a grandmother named Anna that was his major teacher, okay? And you all heard some other things that may have been beyond your comprehension or awareness. But that's okay. That's how we grow. That's how we experience it. That's why, you know, I open myself up to do these shows to be able to bring about wisdom and knowledge in that matter. We are not in a box here in the ministry. You will hear me speak about many things and many subjects. So if you're next week, if you're tuning in the show next week, I'll probably be talking about Osiris, who was another being who came into this realm through the Immaculate Conception. So we're going to be diving deeper there in each and every show about the things that is happening on the Earth Rim. So we wanted to be able to kick it up a notch. We wanted to be able to bring about information there that will help us to ascend into that fifth dimension of consciousness and be able to get there and stay there. So that's what this whole process is, what I'm working and driving to want to do, and I feel that that's how Spirit wanted to use me now to bring us with information and knowledge that will help us to move into that higher state of consciousness and be able to stay there. Because once we reach that full fifth dimension consciousness on a regular basis, level one, that is where the joy begin to happen. That's when we will begin to really see the magic. That's where we will really begin to demonstrate our spiritual gifts to be able to telepathically communicate, be able to teleport, and be able to biocate, because at that realm, we are operating in more of a higher frequency and higher spiritual consciousness. Okay? So that's where we're heading for. For all those who are there and all those who will be a part of that, I welcome you to take this journey with us as we expand and grow into that higher state of consciousness. Okay? I know it's not for everyone, but those who are there, those who are listening, I am grateful for you. I am so, so grateful. And to my beloved and darling friend there in Northern Arizona, thank you so much for hanging in. You are my true supporter, and I love you, and thank you so much. So let's close with a prayer. Thank you, beloved, mighty I Am Present. I am so grateful that you have allowed us to experience another day, another Sunday, another process of living, another process of learning. And we pray for all the wisdom and knowledge that has come through today. We pray for all those higher beings who has supported us and helped us to go into this higher state of consciousness and higher state of awareness. So we say thank you, God, for giving us knowledge and wisdom, and we will utilize this knowledge and wisdom for our highest growth, and that we will continue to expand and continue to move into those higher realms. So we thank all those ascended masters, ascended hosts, and all of their beings who came. We thank for the guardian angels who are there to protect us, that was here today to support us. We thank you for the I Am Presence who is with us all the time. We thank you for Lord Michael who helped us to get through the show from the technical standpoint, and all your support. We say thank you. We are so grateful to all of you. We are just totally in gratitude, in a state of gratitude. And as we go through this week, we will utilize our given knowledge and understanding of who and whom we are, knowing that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And this thing, this illusion called death, is just an illusion and has no power over us. We will rise above it and have no fear and begin to live our lives with the understanding that we are expansive and that we will continue to exist even on the other realms, that we will continue to move forth and continue to grow and continue to expand. That life is wonderful. So we're just so grateful, and we pray that our I Am Presence will support us in each and every move that we make. And as we go through this week, that we will go with knowledge and wisdom that we are one with God, that the power of God is in us just like the wave is in the ocean, that God is with us and supporting us all the way, and that we know and we have no doubts that we are one with God, and God is one with us. So we go in hearts and open minds. We pray for our physical temples, these bodies that we carry. We pray that the white light of protection will surround our physical bodies, starting at the top of our heads. Our physical bodies are now being covered by the white light of protection. And that white light entered into the crown of our heads, and the white light itself began to penetrate into the head and into the face and move into our throat and into our chest area. It is into our stomach area. It is purifying every cell, every organ, and every blood vessel in our body is being purified with that energy of spirit of divine health and divine wellness. And then the white light will continue to travel through our bodies into our hip area, then into our thighs, and into our legs, and into our feet, is grounded into the ground. That perfect health is being illuminated, because every cell is being lit up and being totally perfected in the perfect homeostasis position that it should be. So we are experiencing this divine healing that's taking place. So we also see that we are being encased with the gold light, of the golden light that surrounds the body, that encases us in that wellness and in that prosperity that will be continued to flow into our lives, that the gold light of taste will continue to protect us and keep us going, as we understand that our auras and our body spiritual energy will be expanded and begin to move forward and to be able to help us to go forward, that we can utilize our physical bodies as the temples they are, and we will begin to be more healing and bring about more healing through our own powers that you have allowed us to experience. And we are so, so grateful, and so it is. Thank you, beloved ones. I'm so, so grateful for you. Have a wonderful, marvelous day. Thank you so much.